So it's now after Tisha B'Av, and we're starting a seven-week series of Shiva D'Nechemta, in which we read Haftaros as opposed to the three Haftaros before Tisha B'Av. These are the Haftaros that describe our Gula, that are meant to provide solace and to provide comfort. So having read the Gimel de Paranusa, the three Haftaros of suffering and tragedy, we're all familiar with some of the basic phrases, Sos Tasis, Ani Asara, V'Tarantzion Azavani Hashem, Chazam, Anochion Achiyum Nechamchem, Rani Akara. But these Haftaros possess different templates and different scenes and different themes of Gula. Gula is a very tricky thing. It's not concrete, it's not mathematical, it's not logical. It's more cognitively feasible to study a Gemara, or to study halacha, and to quantify, and to analyze logically. And Gula is wild. There are many different alternatives. It's apocalyptic. There are changes involved. And that's why it's so dangerous, because you could really go off the rails a little bit and say things that just aren't correct. So it's really important to employ Tanakh as best you can as a template for articulating some basic models of Gula without becoming too specific. I would like to take the next 7 weeks as an opportunity to try to use each Haftarah, not to study the Haftarah. I don't want this to become a textual study of the Haftarah, but to study ideas of Geula that the Haftarah conveys. So let me first describe the idea, and then, of course, I'll try to highlight some of the markers in the Haftarah, just so that when you read the Haftarah, some of these words will be familiar to you. There is a built-in drama, or it was a tension to Geula. The tension that we're most familiar with is the pace. Will it be quickly? Will it be slow? Will it be rapid? Will it be staged? Will Mashiach come in heavenly clouds? Will he come on a donkey, rickety and rocking? Will it be a struggle? Will it be supernaturally easy and swift? And Chazal speak about it, the Gemara Sanhedrin. If we're Zelch, it'll be easy, quick, rapid, overnight. If we're not, it'll be slow, staged, difficult, strenuous. That we're all familiar with. There's a sub-drama to it. It's a little bit similar, but a little bit different, and that is, will this redemption be solely unilateral, driven by a Kaddish Baruch Hu? We're the beneficiaries, highlighting the godless of Hashem. We're quiet. Or it will be the consummation of our marriage, in which there's a partnership and a bilateralism that was lost at the Yegel that we've been trying to recover, as documented in Shir HaShir. To a degree, there's an ideological divide. People who see the state of Israel as less of a redemptive event, in part is because they have a vision of Geula, which is not bilateral, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory and awesomeness is stressed, and the Beis HaMikdash is built in Shemayim, and it descends, swirling down from heaven. Or those who feel this is redemptive feel that Hashem is inviting human beings to take part, and He wants human beings to take part, and they're sukkim to support both. But there's no question now, the image of Geula described in Perek Mem of Yeshaya and incorporated into the Haftarah called Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, it's clear what image, what option, what model. It could be different models, it could be blends, it could be overlaps, but it's clear that the model that's highlighted in Yeshaya, Perek Mem, is the model of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's awesome presence and the withering of all human beings, and the futility of human accomplishments. And I'll talk about it, how that changes our vision of Geula. But first let me describe some of the markers in the Parsha, or in the section. First of all, just right off the bat, there are three words towards the end that are used, many of them twice, and you'll recognize these words. The word Tohu is used twice. Kol ha-goyim ka'ayin negdo me'efes v'tohu nechshivu lo. It's got the word Tohu. So if everything is compared to Tohu, vis-a-vis Hashem, that's the world is in its pre-Bereishis state. As much as the world has evolved and advanced and accomplished, it's still Tohu. It's still relative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing has been accomplished. And just listen to that Pasuk again, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Perek Mem. Kol HaGoyim Ke'ayin Negdo, the word Ayin, Me'efes V'Tohu Nechshivu Lo. So you have those words that are negating, Tohu, Efes, Ayin. Number two, there's a lot of imagery of drying up. There are three psukim right in the beginning of the Torah, in which Hashem tells the Navi to announce, Kol ha-basar chatzir, all flesh is like grass, and it's like the blades of the sun, they're like the vegetation of the sun. What happens to grass? What happens to human chesed, human promises? Yavesh chatzir navel tzitz. A little similar to the Haftarah of Tisha B'Av, a little similar to the davening on Yom Kippur right after in the sign of Tokef, kachatzir yavesh. Everything's going to dry up. So the three psalkim about human beings being grass and blades and vegetation, withering away, drying up. A little bit later, you've got another image of dryness towards the end in Pasach Chavdalet, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu blows, presumably at human accomplishments, human armies, Gam Nashafquam, all Hashem has to do is blow, Vayivashu, and they all dry up. So you've got a couple words about the futility and meaninglessness of man, Efes Ayin Tohu, Tohu twice. You've got an emphasis on the drying up of humanity. You've got a vantage point that's clearly celestial. A lot of this nevuah is seen as if you're sitting in heaven. So probably the pasuk that's most, most famous is Hayoshev al Chug Haaretz. Hashem is sitting on top of the earth. V'yoshveha kechagavim. And the inhabitants seem like the grasshoppers, like in Parsha Shlach. Hanotah kadok shemayim. And Hashem spreads the heavens like a thin plate. Vayim tachem ke'ohel. He calls the stars a little bit later. Hamatzim mispar tzva'am l'kulam she'emus b'chulim b'she'em yikra. Like we say in davening, mitzmonim mispar l'kochavim b'chulim b'she'em yisikra. So you're seeing Hashem in this glory, powerful state in the heaven, looking down at grasshoppers or dry, withering man and recognizing that all their accomplishments are meaningless. What does this all lead to? Very famous, famous statement. It's actually repeated twice in this section of the Haftarah. El mi tidamyuni v'yeshveh yomar kadosh. Who can you compare Hashem to? All you can say is kadosh. And again, the word kadosh means unknowable, inscrutable, beyond, different than human beings. Doesn't mean holy. A little bit earlier in the parak, el mi tidamyun el umad demus taruchu lo. Very similar psukim, familiar to us. Sounds a lot like Rosh Hashanah. Sounds a lot like Yom Kippur. Glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Namely, circling back to the theme, this describes apocalyptic redemption. What does apocalyptic redemption mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu remakes the entire universe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and unilaterally descends into this earth, reshapes history, pulverizes everything we've known, changes everything overnight. Similar to Mitzrayim, which there really was no role for the Jewish people, as opposed to later forms of Gula, in which Am Yisrael played a certain role. What else in the section highlights this unilateralism, and then I'll get to the ramifications of the consequences of this unilateralism? Well, first of all, shockingly and strikingly, Hashem doesn't engage in a relationship of intimacy with Am Yisrael in this section. Namely, the only metaphor applied to Hashem in this section is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu as father, or not HaKadosh Baruch Hu as husband, and not even HaKadosh Baruch Hu as creator, which there's a certain intimacy in knowing your creator, the Frankenstein effect, trying to find your creator. The only way that Hashem is described, other than this mighty being in heaven who blows and dries human activity and is beyond human description, is he's a shepherd. Now, a shepherd can convey a level of intimacy, care, concern, nourishing. But even the shepherd imagery here is, I won't say violent, but it's certainly very mighty and forceful. Hine Hashem Elokim b'chazak yavo. He's strong. Uzra'o moshlabo. And he has a strong arm that will control you. Next pasuk. Kiroa edro yira. And he will shepherd you. Bizra'o, that strong arm that we talked about in the previous pasuk. Yikabet salem will gather all these animals. Uvecheko yisalos. So even the shepherd imagery, it's not the shepherd imagery, as we've seen in other cases of Tanakh, Hashem Rui Lo Achsar, Gam Kielch V'Yetz Al Maves, I can rely on him, relationship, care. It's a very different type of a shepherd. It's a shepherd imagery that stresses the magnitude of Hashem's glory. And getting back to the beginning of the Haftarah, a phrase that a lot of people are more familiar with because it's in the beginning, is about re-landscaping the topography of the earth. There's a voice that comes from the desert, Kol Korei Bamidbar, Perek Mem Pasuk Gimel, Panu Derech, make way for Hashem. Well, part of making way is Yashru Ba'arava Mesila L'Elokeinu. Let's make a road. How will this road be made? So you would think, well, we start building the road morally, of course, metaphorically. But all of a sudden, it happens based on the arrival of Hashem. Kol Geyi Naseh, the lowlands will be risen, Chol Har V'Gava Yishpalu, and the highlands will be flattened, and everything will become straight. So the re-landscaping of topography is the metaphor of reshaping of the entire universe. So before I get to the consequences, what this means for us in Geula, there is a model of Geula that's being stressed in Yeshaya, Perek Mem, that's one-sided, unilateral, glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, human beings have no role, human accomplishments are meaningless, it's futile to have a role. The words are very powerful, El Mitadam Yuni, V'Eshveh, everything is Tohu in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem isn't our father, Hashem isn't our husband, Hashem isn't our mother, Hashem's a shepherd that forcibly protects us. Now, what happens is twofold. Number one, this is a geula that human beings have less impact on, but it creates a certain comfort level that it's going to happen regardless of human achievements. It's something you can bank upon because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to tether himself to human dynamics and human geopolitics, human accomplishments. It's inevitable. And that provides a certain level of comfort. As much as we'd like the geula to be a partnership and a product of partnership, there's a certain security knowing there's a terminus to history that's immovable and that's unchangeable. And that's why, strangely enough, it seems to be almost a very dry announcement. Nachamu, nachamu, ami yomar elokechem. I'm here to console you. And Hashem's the author of all the action in this section. Tabur alev Yushalayim, call Yushalayim, kiri leha. You know why Hashem's here? Maybe because he loves us. Maybe because of the promise to the Avos. Maybe because a husband doesn't easily divorce his wife. I can think of a lot of reasons why Hashem is here. What does Yeshaya say in this section? Ki nirtza avona, because our sins have already accumulated, or they've already been offset by all of our suffering. Why? Ki lacha miyad Hashem kiflai, because we've been punished excessively. So, wouldn't you know it? Geula is here because we've received enough punishment, and the scales have now been corrected, and the injustices of the Jewish people have been repaired. That's not the ideal geula. We'd like the idea of geula to be based on Am Yisrael's tshuva, returning to Hashem, love. But it's part of the entire model. And it's inevitable, and it's part of history, and Hashem makes a decision to come. Of course, he has to remain Melech HaMishpat, and he can't round out the numbers. He has to be exacting and precise. So when Am Yisrael sins, they have to be punished for it. So there's an inevitability of this geula, and we certainly don't prefer this form of geula, but there's a certain comfort level about this inevitability. The second part about this geula, and it's striking, is that there's almost no difference between Jew and non-Jew in this form of geula. Because when it comes to the awesomeness of Hashem, the unknowability of Hashem, the creator of everything, he isn't dependent on any counsel, as this section describes. He sits on the heaven, he blows human advance into a dry spell in a second. There's really no difference between Jew and non-Jew. And the pasuk that describes the gathering of Yerushalayim, all the highs and lows will be flattened and Hashem will arrive. So now you think, oh, now they're in Yerushalayim and Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech and Am Yisrael Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. No. V'nigla Kavod Hashem. There'll be an epiphany, revelation. V'ro Kol Basar Yachdav Kipi Hashem Diber. Everyone together will stand there and hear the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Har Sinai for everyone. That's an important question. Obviously, in Geula, there is a unique role for the Jewish people. Obviously, in Geula, there's an impact upon humanity. How do you draw those lines? How do you balance them? It could be many different models. But it is important for Yeshaya to stress the egalitarianism of Geula. And Chazal changes. If you look in the Medrash, Chazal read almost every pasuk as highlighting the unique love that Hashem has for the Jewish people and show the Jewish people and the distance that Hashem feels to other nations, even in Geula. But that's not the simple pshat of Yeshaya Perek Mem. Simple pshat is V'ro kabos yachtav kipi Hashem diber. So it's a certain model of Geula. It emphasizes the naros Hashem, the awesomeness of Hashem, the power, the glory, the fearsomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the imagery support it, all the words support it. There's a lot of drying up of human advancement. It's a lot of celestial vantage point of Hashem, stars, a lot of words negating you, a lot of re-landscaping because it's an apocalyptic change. If Hashem comes and basically reinvents the world because everything we've done is meaningless. Think about apocalypse. Basically, there are two versions of redemption. One version of redemption is evolutionary, and we're build to reach a climax. Maybe the conclusion is aided by Hashem, but it's still a continuation of human achievement. There's another form of gula that's totally apocalyptic. It's an inversion. And it could be a combination of both. It could be certain areas are apocalyptically changed, other areas are not. I think in a modern world of evolution, we tend to look at redemption as evolutionary. We prefer the Rambam, who took a highly evolutionary role of gula, that not much will change. But that's not all of Nevuah, and that's not all of our Chazal. There are different voices in Chazal. And certainly Yeshaya in this parak is just providing one snapshot of a gula, which is unilateral, stressing the awesomeness of Hashem, apocalyptic, and equalizing of all human beings, v'ro kol basar yachdiv. So hopefully we'll get a chance to study different lessons of gula as they emerge from these haftaras.